Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Warning. The following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
Absolutely. So that sound means it's sex therapy time. As always, a little ears warning. And remember, you can catch this chat on our podcast after the show. Our resident sex and relationship therapist, Rachel Cook, is on the line. Rachel, how's it going?
Very good, very good. And we've got tons of questions, don't we, Jen?
Yeah, and a real mix. So let's kick off. I want to talk about this one. We got an email into jen@rte.ie and it's about communication. So this person says, communication is a big issue. If I bring anything up, he shuts it down in relation to the future of our relationship, etc. I am a person who chats a lot about myself, but I find myself not talking about this because he won't speak regarding this particular issue. He wants a child, but I need to know I have stability from him first. But I don't feel I get that when he's been so distant. Have you any advice with this person? We're at a crossroads, they say.
That's a difficult one because, you know, it's, you know, lots of people struggle with communication. No one is going to be a perfect communicator. Some people have very different styles, so they might find it easier with certain friends or family members or co-workers, and then find it really difficult with particular people in their lives. And I think it tends to be more difficult with romantic partners just because there's more, you know, intimacy and details between you, even if you're not kind of cohabiting or raising children together, that there's still just a lot that you're going to be sharing together. And so, you know, having kind of different preferences and ways of going about things. So, you know, I would say it doesn't necessarily mean that this person doesn't want stability or doesn't want commitment just because they're not willing to say that. But it's also very difficult for the other person who doesn't really know where they stand if they don't feel that the person has the sort of maturity and self-awareness, you know, to be able to talk about these things. So, you know, I would say to be very clear to this person, you know, sit down when you're in a good state, the two of you. Probably acknowledge beforehand to yourself that this is going to be a series of conversations. It's not going to be one that you just kind of say exactly the right thing at the right time and then it's all sorted out. This is probably going to be a series of conversations over the course of weeks and months. Is sharing, you know, what happens for you when he's not up for talking about this, you know, and saying how it doesn't lead you to feel very sort of safe or confident in your relationship, that you don't have to be kind of blaming or criticizing him for how he's been, but you can just kind of acknowledge that that isn't quite working for you and that you need to be able to feel more safe by talking about that. And if it's that he really struggles to do that, you might suggest seeing a couples counsellor together, which is probably going to make it a lot easier because that person will be, you know, the therapist is going to be invested in helping you to communicate better rather than taking sides. And so that might be an easier way to feel like that space is held and it's being sort of mediated. So that's an option there.
I mean, if a person can't communicate, that would be a major red flag for me.
Well, I guess it's degrees of communication, right? Some people, they do totally shut down. And sometimes that's because they've had a horrible history. Maybe they've had an abusive relationship. Maybe that kind of communication was incredibly, discouraged in their family growing up, you know, or actively punished even. And so, you know, often these skills just haven't been developed. So, yes, it doesn't generally make for a lot of ease in terms of adult relationships. But I would say nearly everyone struggles to communicate certain parts of their lives. Most of us feel some insecurity and shame around it. Could be bodies, sex. Maybe we haven't really thought about how we want to be as a parent, you know, or sometimes the things don't match up. You know, we might have a certain philosophy about something or views about something, and then we realize that our behavior doesn't quite match our actions. So, you know, I think this is a case of, you know, don't stick around based on someone's potential or the hope that they're going to change if they're not showing signs of engaging with at least trying to develop,
at least trying
to communicate, or find out what it is that makes them so uncomfortable, because maybe it's just that they're so fearful that you're going to immediately break up with them if they don't know exactly what to say, or if they don't say what they think you want them to say. So sometimes a bit of reassurance can go a really long way as well, to having people go, that really wasn't that bad. And, you know, there's somewhere for us to go from here.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about marriage for a second. Somebody emailed saying, "Hi, Jen and Rachel. I hope you can help me. So I'm married for 14 years. We have fallen out of love a few years ago. We have two girls, age 8 and 10. We haven't stayed in the same room for 5 years. I went to counselling for 2 years thinking it was my fault, but instead realise that I have tried everything to save it. I've asked him to talk to someone, but he won't. I want him to move to a small apartment that we have close to the girls, which he won't. He said, I have the problem. His work always came first, not me or the girls. We haven't been in a physical relationship for 5 years. He's the tightest man I have ever met. He has a very high powered job in Dublin. We're housemates. That's it. I want him to give me space. He now wants to do a few weeks with a marriage expert, but I just can't do it now. I think it's too late to sort out. I'm lost for words these days, and it's my girls I have to protect. He's making me feel guilty, saying that he knows now why people commit suicide, feeling like he does at this moment. Any help I would appreciate.
Oh, I feel awful for this person. It does sound like this has become quite dysfunctional between them. It might even have veered into being emotionally abusive. Obviously, we don't know all the details. But, you know, we have talked, you and I have talked, I think only last week or maybe the week before, about this idea of falling out of love. You know, I think it's so important to see love as a practice and about actions. You know, I think it's dangerous to rely on love as a feeling. As we know well, feelings change all the time for all sorts of reasons. And so expecting yourself to feel kind of like that rush of whether it's infatuation or just like a real tenderness and kindness towards your partner all the time, it's just unrealistic. You know, it's like particularly when you are living together, when you are raising kids together, there's, again, just so many more ways in which you can be irritated by the other person or confronted by the fact that you don't have particularly similar or complementary sort of views and behaviours around things. And so, you know, I think the problem here doesn't really seem to be, to me, about specifically falling out of love. It's, you know, the challenges of being in a long-term relationship where it's very possible that these people are simply not aligned and absolutely should be breaking up and living separately and, you know, co-parenting in a much healthier way with kids that can be, you know, feel much more secure and happy because their parents are more secure and happy. Mm-hmm. We also haven't heard here what he is saying he thinks is the problem. Other than that, he's saying that she has said that he thinks that she's the problem, but we don't know any more information than that. So I would say here it's either couples therapy, live separately, or continue to cohabit, but start dating other people, you know, that maybe you talk about, maybe you go to a couples therapist because you decide you don't want to be together anymore, but you're going to continue to cohabit for a time while you work out what that might look like for your living situation. But this person has mentioned going to a marriage expert. Now, I would say, yes, there certainly are some people and programs out there that are designed to kind of save relationships that are falling apart. But the vast majority of couples therapists are not intent on trying to keep you together. They're intent on trying to work out what's going to be best for the people involved, which regularly, you know, in long-term relationships and marriages is going to mean breaking up as amicably as possible so that you can have that be as secure and safe for children involved mm-hmm. and, you know, and for the parents too.
I matched with a guy on Tinder recently, a few messages over and back, and he asked me to FaceTime. We hit it off immediately and decided to meet up that weekend for a date. It was great. And he was all compliments saying that I was so interesting, so attractive, etc., etc., etc. And I gave him compliments in return and I meant them. We ended up back at my place. We had sex that night. I don't normally do this. I normally wait a few dates, but I thought this was the real thing. Anyway, next day he started to act distant. He texted me, said that he thought we were too different in character / personality to start something serious. I was so surprised. I thought the date went great and was expecting to meet up again at least once. And I thought he did too. Is this normal? Can a guy change his mind so quickly, or was I just played for sex? I almost feel stupid for caring so much, this person says. What do you think, Rachel? This is pretty common.
I feel sorry for this person because, you know, I feel sad for them because this is a, you know, an age old story where people particularly, you know, happens to people of all genders and kind of gender matches and sexualities. But it seems to be a particular common thread between, you know, men dating women, women dating men. And so, you know, the sense here that this person has been played, you know, what I'm hearing is that it sounds like that this person had an expectation of things developing into a relationship, and he was interested mostly or purely in sex. And neither of you communicated that beforehand, what your desires were. You know, this person is saying that they thought it was the real thing. And it's like, the real thing for what? You know, was it clear beforehand that this person actually wanted things to develop, you know, ideally into a relationship? You know, I think the FaceTiming thing is an interesting touch, as it can seem quite kind of open and intimate, you know, which can maybe certainly gave the person who's written in a sense that this was, you know, as they've said, the real deal, something that might develop further. And it sounds like this guy was being at least a bit shady. However, I don't hear that he has actively deceived you. He just led you to believe that more might develop, which, you know, isn't great. But also, this wasn't communicated between you. So I would say being much clearer beforehand, and also being wary of people who are full of compliments from the beginning. Of course, it's nice to comment on how you, you know, enjoy how someone, you know, is dressing, or that you find them attractive. That's lovely. But, you know, this sounds like it was veering into a kind of love bombing stage, which, you know, is definitely a bit of a flag, or possibly a massive flag. So
set out your intentions in the beginning. If you really like this person, maybe figure out where is it going. If it's going anywhere, is it just a sex thing? Is that what you're saying? Like, before you embark on, you know, the relationship.
Yeah, like, it's not about not having sex, you know, it's like they could easily have had sex and then still continue to date. Now, very possibly he just decided through the sex, or through like waking up the next day, that he actually was way too kind of enthusiastic at the time. And actually, he doesn't think they're that well matched for a variety of reasons. Now, it sounds like it's more likely that he was just aiming to have sex, and this other person was more interested in it being more. Now, obviously, if you communicate your desires beforehand, that doesn't necessarily mean that the other person is going to be truthful. It doesn't mean that they're going to stick to their word. But at least if you make it clear beforehand, look, you know, I'm not really interested. I'm not interested in one night stands. It's not how I roll. So, you know, I'd like to know more about, you know, where
your intentions. At. Yeah.
Of course, the person can lie, but at least you can feel like you have put that out there, because in this case, it doesn't sound like that happened. And so there were just a lot of expectations flying around that weren't communicated.
Okay, let's move on. It says, hi there. I think I have the most embarrassing problem ever. I started squirting sometimes during sex with my current amazing partner, and it was really hot for him to begin with. I was a bit mortified, as I felt like I didn't really have control over my body and the amount of mess. But when I relaxed into it, however, now it's full on gushing every time, which absolutely wrecks the bed. It makes it really difficult to have spontaneous sex. I actually think my partner's gone off sex as well, and I'm really stressed that it's because I'm squirting buckets. Could something be wrong with me, Rachel? Is there some way I can stop this from happening?
Oh, this poor person. That's so frustrating. You know, it's like mainstream porn has absolutely glorified gushing and squirting over the last 5 years or so, to the point that actually a lot of women now want to know how to do it, because many men are fascinated and turned on by it, since it's become such a big thing in mainstream porn. You know, it's also become a mark of sexual skill for men. And also there's kind of an impression that if you don't gush or squirt, then you're not having the best possible sexual experience, which of course isn't true. You don't have to be gushing or squirting to have a great time. However, this person is talking about how, you know, they are gushing or squirting and, you know, finding that it's actually making their life a bit miserable because it's happening so often. I'd say there's almost certainly nothing wrong with your body or what's going on. But you're, you know, it absolutely worthwhile going and getting checked out just to be sure. But I would say here, you know, the options are kind of work on your PC muscles with Kegel exercises, or squats can be a good way to do that as well. Avoiding pressure on your bladder can be one to do, you know, depending on the position that you're in. I would also say avoid drinking any fluid a couple of hours before sex, and going to the bathroom right before you have sex. You know, it's not that gushing or squirting is wee. It's not that it's pure urine, although there is, you know, almost certainly from what we know, there are small amounts of wee. in when people with vaginas gush or squirt. Mm-hmm. But certainly if you have less liquid in your body, then less is likely to come out.
And do your Kegels.
Do your Kegels.
Do the Kegels.
Do your Kegels for sure. That could be a good way. And then also I would say something else you might do is masturbate. You know, it could be with a vibrator where there's no penetration. You might find that if the gushing or squirting is happening from penetration, be that with fingers, toys, or a penis. And so you might find that over time, if you can kind of train yourself to orgasm with clitoral stimulation, and you might find that that makes it way less likely to happen and can be a different way to enjoy yourself.
Okay, thanks for that, Rachel. Now, last one, it's the list of lust. We've all heard of this. It says, my boyfriend keeps banging on about who is on his hall pass list of people he'd be allowed to sleep with if the opportunity presented itself. He's always talking about it, and if there's a good-looking actress on the telly, he pipes up and adds her to the list. It's a daily occurrence now, and it's getting really annoying as the women are so physically different to myself. And also, I do feel it's very disrespectful to me and how he always seems to be on the lookout for hot women. I brought it up and he says it's just a joke and to relax. But do you think this is per form?
Okay, so I would say it doesn't really matter whether I think it's poor form. It matters that this person has openly said that they find it disrespectful and hurtful. You know, I would say it's not inherently bad or wrong for someone to express being attracted to other people. And certainly it's very normal to experience attraction to other people when you're in a relationship. But, you know, what I'm hearing from this is that it's about how he's sharing it with this person. So I would say sit down with him when you're both in a decent state again, not really hungry or tired or stressed about work, and say that you'd like to talk to him about how you both express attraction, because it's not OK for someone to tell you that you're being too sensitive or that you're not able to take a joke when you are clearly saying this is something that annoys, upsets or hurts me. So you need to be able to work out how that can be better communicated. There might be some other things that underneath there, you know, about needs not feeling quite met, or, you know, there's all sorts of things that might come up through chatting about, you know, what's working in our relationship, what isn't, because he definitely does not need to express that to you, or not in that way. But it might be that, you know, there are other things that are going on for one or both of you that you can chat about in a decent relationship chat.
Rachel Cook, that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for this week. And we will have our therapy session again next week.
Can't wait.
Lovely. Thanks. There we go. That is Rachel Cook. You can find her on Instagram at Rachel Jane Cook with the knee on the end. And remember, anything you send her, may end up on air. If you would like help in your relationship or sex life, you can always get in touch with the show. Also, jen@orty.ie. And we'll chat to Rachel next week.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.